Hi, everybody. On February 19th, 2020, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Today we have our old friend Rick Fagan from NSVRA, the National School Public Relations Association, and our new best friend, Heidi Otero, who is the Director of Communications at Arizona School Boards Association, but she also serves as on the NSPRA board as the Vice President of Diversity and Engagement, or Diversity Engagement, okay? And she also wrote an article for us, okay, NSPRA's article, their column, in the next issue that we're putting together right now of our magazine, Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity, ACNE. So it's going to be a nice show. We're going to talk to mostly Heidi, a little bit of Rich, about the role of communication in building diversity and equity and access programs in our schools. So it's going to be fun. I'm Larry Jacobs. It's going to be a good time today as we go through this show. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. That's our website. I feel like I'm out of breath for some reason. And we will put a new schedule up there on Saturday, just like we always do. All right. We tweet over at EduTalk Radio. We Facebook at Larry Jacobs or EduTalk Radio. And we link in at Larry Jacobs. You can friend us, follow us, link with us over there. Please go over to ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, our magazine's website. We're an online journal. You'll love it. And if you go in another couple of weeks, we'll have Heidi's issue up there, the March, April issue. Right now, Jan Feb is up there. If you'll like it, please subscribe to the magazine. It is free. And without further ado, let me bring on Rich. I just knocked you off, okay, by accident. Heidi, you there at 6 a.m. in the morning in Arizona?
Hello, I'm here, bright and early.
You're a good girl. I appreciate this. And I accidentally just knocked Rich off. I know he's going to call back in a couple of minutes. I apologize for that.
Okay.
I hit the X button as opposed to the bring him on button. So hopefully we'll do this. Tell us, Heidi, it's great to meet you. And thank you for the upcoming article, by the way. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
Nice article. We saw it. So what do you do? You're Director of Communications for the Arizona School Boards Association. What's that job entail?
Yeah, I have the honor of working with 225 school districts, school board members, about 5,000 school board members and superintendents. And so we work for them. They're our member districts. We do everything from professional development, trainings. We advocate for them. We lobby for them at the Capitol on House and Senate bills that impact public schools and education.
Mm-hmm.
I oversee all the communications, the marketing, the social media. I present on various aspects. And one of our biggest initiatives is moving equity forward and getting board members and superintendents to understand what equity is and how to define that within their own local communities.
That's wonderful, and thank you for doing that, starting even at 6 in the morning. We appreciate you getting the word out this early. Right,
hey,
Rich
Larry.
Fagan at 9 in the morning. Rich, I'm sorry. You didn't hear me say it. I accidentally hit the X button as opposed to bringing you on. So I was the one who knocked you off.
I won't take it personally, okay?
Don't. I didn't want you to call Sprint or whoever you're using and complain to them. It was me. Okay? And our customer service organization in Bangladesh is waiting for your call, so we don't let that happen again. Okay? No problem. We only speak Bangladeshi, though, just in case you didn't know. Rich, NSPRA, what's going on over there? Heidi and I are old friends now. All right, what's going on at NSPRA right now?
Well, I just heard that. I heard the kind of the latter part of what you were just discussing about, and I just want to add that Heidi is doing a great job for the School Board Association, but she also is reaching out nationally, and it does make a difference because after she speaks and runs workshops, people will, they start doing things or get the buzz going about why they should be doing things. So that's really important. Well, what's new in ESPRA is what we're trying to do is get ready for our national seminar in St. Louis from July 12th through the 15th, and all the folks that put in to present, and we're going through them, and by the end of the month, later next week, as a matter of fact, they'll be getting their notifications. So it's shaping up for us a great deal.
Heidi, if you submitted one, mention my name. That may help you get a spot.
Oh, don't you worry. I already have one reserved.
Oh, okay. Right. Just checking.
Right. So, but, you know, this topic is real important, and you were right when
it
saying
is.
This is mostly Heidi's show in a way. It's your show, and then she's going to do a lot of it. But the one thing that communication can do, and it's, I think this is real important almost on any topic that school districts should be, you know, working on, they should be actively pursuing, and that's communication can put the spotlight on it, get people not only talking about it, but doing things about it. And if you mainstream the communication function the way they should, and on the equity issue especially, you know, it starts penetrating, and that's the kind of thing that we need to happen, because unfortunately we see sometimes people just talking about it and saying, yeah, we need to do more,
well,
and then they don't do much. So it's putting the pressure on.
Rich, I can't
on
tell you, as you know, we sell advertising into the magazine, and I'm very careful about who I let into the magazine advertising-wise. And one of the funny things is when I talk to a company, and I'll say to them, I'll say, are you interested in equity? And they jump on that. And they say, oh, absolutely, yes, I am. And they go, no. And then I will say to them, well, what do you have? What can you show me? What are you doing that really has to do with equity in school districts? And they look at me like I'm a deer in the headlights, like they're a deer in the headlights. Okay?
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
the same thing everywhere. Equity and accessibility are easy things to say. They aren't easy to do. Okay?
Right.
You know, and I agree with you. And the school, it goes right down to a school district. It goes right down. And, you know, on that note, let's swing, if I may, Rich, let's swing over to Heidi.
Sure.
Heidi, is that okay, Rich? Do I have your permission?
Go ahead, even though you cut me off.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I love you. You know that. Rich and I, Heidi, did Rich tell you he and I went to college together?
He sure did.
Yes. Yes. And somehow, although we were in college at the same time, I'm over 40 years younger than he is. It's absolutely astounding. I don't know how that happened.
Okay. That's good to know.
Just unbelievable. And I still retain my youthful good looks. Rich, what happened? That's all I want to ask. What happened? All right. We'll move on from that. Yeah. Heidi, you know, I'll just ask a simple question. I'll let you go on this. What's the role of communications when it comes to diversity and equity? And one of the reasons I'm asking that, I remember talking to Rich a couple of years ago when we were just starting the magazine. And Rich said that equity, okay, and accessibility and compliance were key things that were brought up at the ENSPER convention, the national seminar. I think it was 2 years ago. They were the most crowded seminars. And it didn't occur to me per se that communications would play such a role in this. And I don't think it still occurs to a lot of people, which is why I want NSPRA in our magazine all the time. Heidi, bespeak it. Okay, what's the role of communication? You're the one with you are the queen of diversity and engagement and accessibility. Heidi Otero, you're on.
In the article, you'll see that we call equity the E word, because I think people, especially board members, just from experience, we serve so many board members all over the state of Arizona, and they're all from different places, rural and remote, urban, suburban, large, small, native, tribal areas, border areas, border cities here in Arizona. And I think the most common thing that we see is that people still don't understand what equity means and what equality means.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they actually think that they're, you know, used interchangeably, but they're actually distinct ideas. And so we have to start there. And what we do is get people to understand, you know, those are two different meanings. You know, we know that equality is, you know, everybody gets the same amount of support or the same chance or opportunities. But equity is identifying those additional opportunities or additional supports that some children or some students
mm-hmm.
in our schools will need in order to be just as successful. So starting there and then being able to communicate what that looks like in your school district and in your community. And I think for many communication professionals, they don't know how to do that, or there's no buy-in. People get afraid, or they get turned off because they tend to think that equity just focuses on, like you said, diversity, you know, race, ethnicity, students of color. But equity means so much more. You know, it's depending on how you look at it, where you come from in your community, you have to use that lens of equity, just the way we have to use a certain camera and buy a lens for it at ASBA. We have to see certain things clearly using that lens, right? And so that's what I tell people. That's how I describe it is, you know, using your own lens of equity in your own community to see what's that going to look like. You know, and I'll give you some examples here in Arizona.
Please do.
Equity looks a lot different. Equity looks a lot different in our communities. You know, I'm in Maricopa County. I'm in a big suburban area where equity might focus more on special ed students in my district versus if we go, we drive up north a few hours and we're in Kayenta, which is a tribal area. You know, those students, they're bused to and from school 2 hours a day each way, and they have
so
unpaved
rural.
Roads. Yeah, rural, unpaved roads. They don't have electricity. That school community center and that school media center, they have to stay open until 8 o'clock just so children can get their homework done and then be able to be bused back. You know, go south to Yuma in Arizona where children are walking to and from school and they're crossing the border. They're getting up at 5 in the morning, 7 and 8-year-olds, to cross the border because they live in Mexico, even though they're American citizens, because they can't afford to live in Yuma on the other side, but yet they go to school there. And we're talking
wow,
about 7-year-olds.
I have
three children, and, you know, my youngest is 13, and we live right across the street from our school. And my 13-year-old can't even get up 10 minutes before school starts to get there on time. No deodorant and no teeth brushed, I'm sure, but you know, and so we're just talking about the different lifestyles and the different ways that equity is defined within one state. So when you go around and you're speaking on this, you're advocating on this across the country, you get to understand that equity looks so different across the state, just the way it looks different across your own in your own state, across the country.
So the point I think that you're trying to make is this: every school district has a different sense of what equity is. I mean, that's pretty clear, and they have, but the community necessarily doesn't. They think equity is equality, or everybody can go to school. That's it. Okay, that's equity.
Right.
But that's not equity. Okay, equity is those kids who don't speak English, making sure we teach them English and have the right products for them so that they can learn equally. Okay, that's what equity is about. Okay, so
I mean, that's just one example. Yeah,
go ahead.
One example, though. And I think for me, it's, you know, getting people to get past that. You know, so many people are limited to race and ethnicity, and you know, we live in a red state in Arizona, and there's so many conservatives where people they don't want to talk about that. That's why we call it the E word, because they think it's just that, helping, you know, students of color or high poverty students, but it's not. It's about identifying, you know, what support certain children need, whether that's gifted, whether that is remote, whether that is cultural, whether that is special ed needs, you know, whether that's just high poverty. You know, we have, you know, communities where college access just isn't something because they're so remote, they're so rural. And so getting those community college courses, you know, embedded in that, you know, one specific community. So it's looking past that and understanding what that looks like. I think for communication professionals is so many people are intimidated by the E word. They don't understand it. So they feel like they can't communicate it and advocate for it because they don't know where to start.
It's true. And and not only that, we have to make them understand what it is. Okay, and that's the role to me of the school. And Rich, chime in here. When you had your seminar, I think it was the Chicago one 2 years ago. Correct me if I'm wrong, okay? But you told me that people were so interested in this topic. And Rich, let me just jump on what Heidi said and tell me what the kind of questions they were asking. And if that's basically was it, what Heidi explained. Rich Fagan.
I don't really remember which seminar it was, but
okay.
I can really say in the last 3 years, It has blossomed so much because people are more aware and society is more aware, and you know, and so they're looking for help to make it work in the schools, and they come to us for help in communication.
Mm-hmm.
So that's you know, and it's, as Heidi just said, where do you get started? And you know, she's done some nice work for us as well in doing that. And where do you get started? And I just, you keep mentioning the E word. The other E word, which cuts across the entire school district, is engagement. And that's part of what all this is all about, because we really need to engage folks and on the equity side, but then helping people understand the need and why your whole school community will be so much better if you do this the right way. So an engagement where sometimes falls apart is it's a lot of work. It really takes time, and you know, evenings, other events during, and just getting out there and collaborating, that just eats up a lot of time. And some people can't afford that time, or some people don't want to make that time. So that's the push. I mean, if this is a priority of the system, which it should be, the push should be there. And so, you know, equity and an engagement way, doing a brochure is not going to help that much.
Yeah.
Engaging people is where, that's where it'll work. And so that's the big push that we do. And that's the kind of, you know, how do we get started? Well, that's, you start engaging with the right people, selected folks and leaders in your community, and then working with them and working with your staff, because the internal part of this is really important as well.
Well, actually, that's a great point about the internal part as well as the external part at all. Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second. But, you know, my question is, although school districts, you know, we want to do this and we want to do the right thing, okay, there are other pressures. We have to do the right thing. And my question, and Heidi, you know, we have to convince the school district that they need to do this because it's to, I want you to follow up on this, because it's to their benefit, not just to the benefit of the students, but to the benefit of the district, to engage the community and make them understand. Why is it so important so that the community understands the accessibility and equity access of what their school district is doing? I can start you off with that. I don't mean to play stump the band here. But, you know, to create accessible products, to BART's accessible products, okay, to do all these things that require equity, which is in many cases a legal thing, and the you have to have money. And money comes from the community. And if you can't convince the community, you're going to be short of money. Okay, because we have this focus. Heidi, where are we? Where am I right on that, Heidi Otero?
I would say yes and no. I mean, obviously,
I'm the host. You can never say no to anything I do. I'm the host. I'm always
yes
right. No, I'm
no.
Just kidding. Go ahead. Yeah,
yes and no. Yeah. I would say public education is always hurting for school funding, right? As a nation and as a state, I know in Arizona we are. But I would definitely say that equity is like a journey for school districts, and you want your school community to be part of your journey. You don't want – I see districts that are doing great things when it comes to equity, but they're afraid to even communicate it or inform their stakeholders because they don't want anybody to get upset, or they assume people aren't going to understand. And I tell people that's like, you know, that's like watching a movie and then fast-forwarding to the end. And so you want people to be part of that. And, you know, and one big component that we tell people that works well is just, it's just storytelling. It's telling those powerful stories that are real, that are authentic, and not be afraid to touch topics like, for example, Black History Month. Right now it's February, it's Black History Month. You know, it's as easy as picking 10 facts about Black History Month and communicating that to the community and using that all across your communication platforms. You know, asking your teachers, how are you celebrating? Mm-hmm. How are you embedding Black History Month in your lesson plans and getting that information out? Be afraid to ask people, you know, why are they proud to be African American or Black? What reminds them of Black History Month? The same thing for a variety of other things. Also educating. You know, I do this presentation and I always show this picture of the three amigos. And they're in the mariachi suits from that movie. And then I ask people, what does this image remind you of? And the majority of the audience will always say Cinco de Mayo. And then I tell them, but this has nothing. This image has nothing to do with the history of Cinco de Mayo. You know, so it is our role to educate and communicate people on all these different things that are a part of culture, that are a part of respect. You know, our children see so many things right now all over social media, on TikTok, you know, Snapchat, where, you know, people are, you know, disrespecting people's cultures or ethnicity.
Right.
They're, you know, Snapchat has all these different filters, you know, and there was this one filter years ago where they were mocking the Asian culture. So you could put your face on it and it would, you know, it would basically, you know, transform your face into an Asian face. And, you know, it was very disrespectful. You know,
it
but
is.
If our children are seeing these things, they know nothing else. They think this is normal. So it's our responsibility as adults and in our school districts and in our communities to educate our children, to provide the professional development for teachers, classified and certified, our administrators, and ensure that they are understanding the cultures that, you know, are reflective of the children that they teach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just starting there.
And you bring up something, and Rich brought it up a few minutes ago, you know, making sure the teachers are respectful, et cetera. And when we think of school district communication, and Rich, you and I have chatted about this a lot, we think of external communication to the community. I brought it up a few minutes ago. You got to get to the community. You brought it up, Heidi. But internal communication, and Rich has said this many times, is equally important. All right. Heidi, you want to talk about that? When you, from the Arizona school boards, okay, you go talk to all these districts, okay, all through Arizona. What about internal communication on diversity and internal communication on accessibility and equity?
Yeah, and so those are three different types of definitions. But, yes, you know, we talk about professional development internally is just as important. You know, in Arizona, like some neighboring states, we have a teacher shortage, which is actually a teacher – it's a funding issue. But that's for another radio show.
That's okay. We can do it. We can do that.
But, you know, we see teachers that are coming in, first, second-year teachers that, you know – we assume have that professional development, have those skills to understand what that, you know, what that looks like. Like I said, equity is going to look different in every community, whether that
right.
is trauma, that's abuse, that's disciplinary issues, that is culturally, you know, awareness and agility issues. But we have to start with our, not only our certified, but with our classified and getting all staff to understand, you know, what does equity look like in their community and begin to understand, you know, what are those unconscious biases? What are those additional supports that they may need to be able to be aware and to identify, you know, what does maybe trauma or victimization look like in their classrooms? And those are the skills that they need. You know, one specific example that came to mind is a school district that just did they did a ENSPRA Power Hour on restorative justice, and the
nice.
Superintendent from Buckeye Elementary School District talked about how they identified that there were so many higher disciplinary rates, so many the majority of African American male students were being basically disciplined at higher proportions than any
mm-hmm.
other
yeah.
student peers in the Buckeye. And so, long story short, they looked at their data. They identified that there was a problem. When they were able to dig deeper, speak with parents, speak with children, speak with the teachers, they identified that two things. The majority of these male African-American students did not have a father figure. They were living with
wow.
grandparents in this rural area.
Wow.
Also, that the teachers were, since it was more of a rural area, the teachers were first and second year teachers. They didn't have mentors. They didn't have the professional development that they needed to be able to learn and identify to handle these types of issues with these students. So they were just kicking these students out or sending them to the office because that was the easiest thing. And so they decided that they were going to stop there and partner with these grandparents, partner with these students, and provide teachers with professional development. And so, again, that's one example of what, you know, what equity looks like in that one community. But, yeah, you have to start internally first. And, you know, we work so hard with board members and superintendents because you have to have buy-in from top down.
Mm-hmm. You do indeed. That was well said. That was a great example. I got to tell you, that was just a terrific example. Heidi, you work for the Arizona School Boards Association. And when I deal with Rich, normally we're talking about school districts, which are different than school boards. They work for school boards, okay? How does a school board, okay, react? And how should a school board react? Because they are very answerable to the public. A school is too, obviously, but the school board members are literally representative of the public. Is there a difference to the way they need to communicate and the way they need to react if there's pushback on something? How's it all come together for a school board?
I think for me, it was very beneficial. I was a school district communications director in a very large northern area district here in Arizona, 35,000 students, 367
wow.
square miles, 42 schools. So I was there for 7 years. So that really, I think, helped me. You know, when you're in the trenches, it cannot get any better than that.
Yeah.
So coming to School Boards Association, I was able to now understand and work with, you know, every school district. And then I had the opportunity and privilege to travel and see how every school district is different. Because when you're in one school district, it's like you have tunnel vision. All you do is focus on,
that's right.
you know, all the things that are happening within that one district.
That's right.
What we have done and we continue to do is we want to educate our school board members. Your board members, you're exactly right. They are the representatives and advocates for your community. They are publicly elected officials. They are one board. Individually, we say you have no power individually. You have power as one board, and you oversee the superintendent. And so you work with the superintendent and your school district staff. And so we always try to identify district protocols and
mm-hmm.
working and partnering with your superintendent to ensure that you're providing the best educational experience for children in your school district. So as far as advocates and being community representatives, we educate our members that we understand that it's different. You know, in every state and in every city, here in Arizona in general, I mean, we have small, remote, rural areas where, you know, you might be school board members, but you're neighbors as well. And so,
right,
you know, but then
sure.
we have large, yeah, exactly. Then we have large school districts where you have board members that are from different political parties or might have different, you know, ideas of what
mm-hmm.
Equity should look like. And they may be afraid of it. They may think it's too this or too that. So it's working together and hearing from your community members, being out there, being ambassadors, identifying how you can help the school district communicate the strategic plan goals, your vision, and your mission. And again, being the representative of your community.
Absolutely. And I don't know how to ask this question because they're so mixed. Okay, in your role as the Director of Communications for the School Boards Association, are you finding that pretty much melds with what the majority of school districts are trying to say? Is the message the same? I don't know if the question makes sense.
Community.
I'm trying to phrase it
as well as I can.
Okay.
I think it's different for every community, like every state. You know, what we see is our small and rural remote areas don't have a public information officer or a communications person.
Right. They should.
You know, most times those districts, the superintendent is not only a superintendent, he may be the PE teacher, he may be the bus driver, and he's a custodian. So, you know, it differentiates wherever you go. You know, in your larger
yeah.
school districts and your more urban districts, you do have the communication person that is, you know, plays that role. So it's having buy-in and ensuring that you are working with your community to communicate, you know, what are those additional supports that are needed for your school districts, you know, bonds and overrides. You know, for public schools here in Arizona, that's a big deal, especially in the larger school districts. But the small rural and remote areas, they can't pass that because they don't have buy-in on that. It's just so high poverty in those areas that no one can afford that. So everybody's afraid of that. So it's basically understanding, you know, your role in situations and being able to work with your community to advocate and obtain that support. And I think one of the most important things is communicating, you know, what are those supports that are needed And that's why I say, you know, we get districts and we just had advocacy day where we had over 65 board members and superintendents from small rural areas, you know, drive 2, 3, 4, 5 hours just to come to the Capitol and advocate on those needs. And the majority of those people said, we don't have communication people. How do we communicate? Well, you have buy-in with your board members and superintendents. You start with your employees, and you provide those stories that they can go and tell to ensure that people, you know, there's power in numbers and there's powers in stories. And, you know, telling those stories of, you know, little Jimmy or little, you know, or little John or Maria or, you know, or Danae, you know, just depending on where you come from, you know, and how that public school, how that champion, whether that's a cafeteria worker who's always there to hear you out as a student, or whether that's your librarian or that's your teacher, that makes a difference. You know, these are all champions of public education. We just need to be able to tell those stories. And that's what we told our board members on Monday when we were here for Advocacy Day at the Capitol. We said, tell those stories. Tell your legislators those stories. Tell them what are those needs, you know, and have them understand, you know, that equity is important, you know, and how does, you know, how do you define that in that community?
You're a powerhouse. You're a pistol. They must love you at the Arizona School Boards Association.
I appreciate that.
Hey, Larry. Yes,
all right. One other thing before.
Please.
Yeah, we, you know, when we're trying to help communications people in general, and when decisions are made in the school district and almost at any level, but really from the central office or the board, about anything, we always say, well, how are you going to communicate this? Who needs to know it? What's the message? All those kinds of things, so that they take a moment to think about it and focus on the communication end. We are now also, and a lot of our members are now using this, even when they do their strategic plans, then, as Heidi said earlier, you put, what about the equity lens? And look at, when you make those decisions, what does that mean through an equity lens? And trying to make them think about it so that they can communicate it better, and also maybe change sometimes their decision because it is not equitable. So we just always try to push that in our way, of in our training of making, especially with the newer folks that come on board, to make them think that way, and so they can go back to their systems and start asking those kinds of questions.
Absolutely. Let me just say this again. This is the National School Public Relations Association. They're the School District Communications Association, the professional association. Every school district needs to communicate both internal and externally. And every school district, how many times have I said this, Rich, needs to get in touch with NSPRA, okay, and learn how to do this, tap into their resources, and learn how to do this right. And if you don't have somebody there who's full-time as your communications director, and the, let's just say the superintendent or the associate superintendent who doesn't know borscht about this, okay, you need to tap in, because you may be a professional educator, but you're not a professional PR person. That's what NSPRA represents in this crazy age of communication. Right? Was that good, Rich? Because I meant it.
Yeah. I know. Well, I know you do. I appreciate that. And you also understand the need. So that's, you know, and that's what we help fill. So we appreciate that.
Well, NSPRA.org. And it's, believe me, Rich will not bite if you call. Okay.
That's right.
Or if you write him, Rich will not bite or send you back a poison pen letter. Okay. He will help you. Okay. You're not alone out there. Heidi, am I right? Am I right here?
Absolutely. I mean, I might bite, but, you know, that's a different radio talk show.
You're forgiven. You're hungry. It's early in the morning. You haven't had breakfast. Okay, so that makes perfect sense. It's 6:30 out there, everybody. Heidi, thanks for getting up so early. You were wonderful. I really appreciate this.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Well, it's literally my pleasure. And please, if you want to do a show about that teaching shortage in Arizona, EduTalkLarry@gmail.com. Okay? And
okay.
Please
awesome.
Let me know
Thank
and we'll
you.
Schedule that in. Sounds like a great topic. And by the way, while you've been struggling to stay awake. Rich, are you still in your pajamas or are you actually dressed yet? It's 9:30.
I'm dressed and ready to go.
He's on his way, everybody. Rich Bagan.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Both of you, thanks a million. And Heidi, if you want to do a show, just get in touch with me, okay?
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you both. Have a great day.
Thanks, Larry.
You too. Bye-bye.
You're welcome, Rich. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Heidi. Heidi Otero. Bye. Heidi Otero from Director of Communications at the Arizona School Boards Association. Okay, and she's on the NSPRA board as their Vice President of Diversity Engagement. This is a big thing in communications. You want it to work, communicate it well. NSPRA.org. Go over to ACNE, ace-ed.org, our online journal. Heidi's article will be in the next issue. Okay, we have great stuff in this issue, and you can subscribe for free. ace-ed.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Larry Jacobs. Have a good day.